You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, making rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Hard Rock and Metal Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Sitting next to me in the co-pilot's chair this evening is the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6.
Hey, guys.
And this handsome gentleman over here on the computer screen way off to my right is Keith the Hawk Hawkins. What's going on, Keith the Hawk?
Hey, what's up, everybody? How's it going?
It's going great, man. We're ready to rock
tonight. What's going on there? What's happening? What's the weather like there?
Actually, it's
like 60 degrees today.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Really? I heard it was going to be in the 70s tomorrow.
It sure is.
Yep, that's I'm going to have Bermuda shorts on and sunglasses and a big Hawaiian shirt.
Good. There you go. I've been dressed like it every day now.
Keith, all the way from New Orleans.
I'm going to close this.
All right, guys. Tonight's topic is the films of David Fincher. It's going to be a fun podcast. We are movie buffs here at the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, have been forever and ever, amen. So it's going to be a good thing. We appreciate you guys' feedback. You guys' yin's feedback, yours' what's English again? I forgot how to speak English. We appreciate your feedback as well, so feel free to chime in. The live audience is here on Facebook with us tonight. Feel free to chime in. Give us your thoughts on your favorite David Fincher films, and we're going to do our best to try to rank them.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to do that without shedding too much blood or too much tears tonight. So, by the way, the website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. And that is where you want to go to check out and find out everything that's going on in the Ludini world. There's great merchandise there. We sold something this week.
Oh, what did we sell?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet, but we did sell something.
We sold a thing.
So it was a condom, I think. Used.
Nice.
One of my used condoms. So,
good.
Anyway, so you want to go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com to check out everything about our music podcast. We do a lot of great interviews with a lot of really cool indie artists. And some not so indie artists. I've got to meet people like Nancy Wilson from Heart and some cool people like that too as well. So LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is where all that's happening. And so check back there often. We got a little bit more stuff for you. We'll save that till later on. But we're going to have a good podcast tonight, the films of David Fincher. And to get started, so let's start off with a little Greta Van Fleet.
Nice.
This is we've been playing Highway Song, but this is their second single off the album. It's called Safari. No, it's not called Highway Song. This Safari Song, we'll get this straightened out later. But to Greta Van Fleet from the album From the Fires, Safari Song on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. That is Greta Von Fleet. And let's go ahead and plug their Webby site.
I really like them.
Yeah, I think this is a cool band. You want to go to very simple, GretaVanFleet.com. And you can check out everything these guys have going on. Okay, so we are talking tonight about the films of David Fincher. Keith, do you have like a master list you can read off to us?
I sure do, man.
What do you got, buddy?
He's ready.
Okay, so in no particular order, I'm not going to go like chronological or anything like that, but he did Alien 3 was, I think, his big first like attempt. Yeah.
Let's try to keep commentary till we get to the commentary. So just give us the list, okay?
But go ahead. All right. Hey, Lou. Hey, take it easy, okay? Your blood pressure is going to go up, and we're just going to have a bad time here. All right. So, Alien 3, Fight Club, The Game, Panic Room, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Social Network, 7, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Zodiac, and Gone Girl is what we're picking from, in my opinion.
So I think that we should mention, well, we can come back to some of the stuff later. What I do want to eventually touch on a little bit is his directing of and producing of some really cool Netflix shows like House of Cards and Mindhunter. Both very, very, if you haven't seen either one of those series, you should get a Netflix subscription just for those. They are excellent series. And David Fincher, his hand is all over both of those in a big way. Okay, so let's go ahead. And where do you guys want to start? What movie do we want to start with? I just, by the way, I tried to watch as many of them as I could in the past few days just to kind of catch up. And I think I have seen all of them. And I rewatched 7 just now. Lily got here. She got to see the big climax with, you know, what's in the box? What's in the box?
I heard it as I came in the door. I'm
what's in the effing box?
Yeah. So what do you want? What movie do you want to start with? We'll start with 7?
Let's start with 7. I know that one. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not as big a movie buff as these two are, but I have seen movies.
Okay. All right, Lily. Damn it! Come on now. Start doing your homework. Let's do this.
So let's talk about it. So 7. What do you think? What do you guys think?
I absolutely love 7. I love everything about it. I love the actors in it, even Brad Pitt, I guess. I love that it had some like Dante's Inferno stuff in it. I love that it was the 7 Deadly Sins. I love that it was like totally like mind screwing. I love the whole thing about it. Just all of it.
Mind screw.
I didn't want to say the other word.
I got you.
I'm trying to keep it clean.
Might try to keep it PG-13 if we can.
Ish.
So, and Keith, go ahead. Give us your sort of like spin on. And who's gonna keep a little tally?
I'll try.
And try to rank these. So we got to try to put them in order at some point. So give us a little commentary there, Mr. Hawkins, on 7.
Let me just say something about David Fincher's movie. David Fincher will hijack your eyes. You understand what I'm saying to you? He hijacks your eyes. You don't know if is that really happening, or did this just happen, or is this going to be a twist, because his movies do that to you all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
They go back and forth. 7, obviously, is one of his better films, I think, and it is a very, very just what the hell is going to happen next kind of thing. You got the two detectives that one's going to retire, one's a little younger, he's all gung-ho, these guys can't get along, but they're trying to solve them, you know, these brutal, brutal murders based off the 7 sins, and, you know, that just the movie goes from there and there into that climactic ending where there's something in that box. But, I mean, the movie itself is legendary, and I think it put him on the map as, it came out in 95, so it definitely put him on a map as a director to watch at that time, and he was just... It was all, you know,
well,
it was all on
is,
from there,
this
man.
Is,
he
I
definitely
think,
did.
I think Alien 3 is 92 or 93. Mm-hmm. So this is what, Keith, is this his second?
I think it's his 95. So, yeah, it's probably his second or third film he come out with. Yeah.
So I think that I think it's a great film. I think we could draw a line, from Silence of the Lambs to 7 and so on. There's this, you know, I want to take a step back and talk. I'm going to talk about The Game now. Okay. Because the game, the Seven is a thriller in the tradition of Silence of the Lambs. It's a post Silence of the Lambs. It was Silence of the Lambs was one of those movies that came out and like it was so influential. So many people loved it that there were a lot of movies that were sort of like kind of rode the bandwagon of Silence of the Lambs. Not necessarily bad movies. I think Seven is one of those really good examples of like somebody picking up on that sort of type of vibe and doing their own thing with it and making a really awesome movie. I'm not trying to say that I think that Seven is a ripoff of Silence of the Lambs. It's just in that tradition, okay? Mm-hmm. And just like, and so I want to talk about the game for a second. The game, in my opinion, is one of these movies that is in the tradition of, partially because Michael Douglas is in it, is in the tradition of a movie that came out in the 80s, which was Fatal Attraction. Mm-hmm. And after when Fatal Attraction came out, all of a sudden there was like a, you know, there was the Basic Instinct, Sleeping with the Enemy, Shattered. There were all these like movies with these like kind of like these psychological thriller crime story kind of movies. And I think that Fincher kind of did his own thing with it when he did The Game. You ever seen The Game, Lily?
I have not seen
The Game. Keith, have you seen The Game?
I've seen it once. I tried to watch it the other day all the way through. It has a lot of twists and turns in it, but I have to refrain from as many comments on this one because I'm not as familiar with this one.
Yeah, but here's the problem with some of these movies like The Game, and I'll go outside of David Fincher for a second. But like The Game, The Usual Suspects, Sixth Sense, where there's this big reveal or something at the end, big twist at the end, and it's like once you have seen it, once you know it, then it really kind of, it's hard to rewatch it and have that same sort of like enthusiasm for it. I mean, I rewatched The Game this weekend because I hadn't seen it in many, many years. And I remember it was one of those super fun movie going experiences. I went to see it in the theater with a girl I really liked and we had a really good time and we were absolutely blown away by it. We were like, wow, you know, jaw on floor, you know, didn't see it coming, you know, loved the whole thing. Guessed the whole time. Is this real? Is this bad? What are they doing? And, but when I rewatched it, it was kind of like it, definitely was like way it was like porn that you already jerked off to like, you know, 100 times, you know, it just doesn't have the same kind of effect.
It's lost its luster.
Yes, it's lost its luster, but it's still a solid film and it's still some great stuff in it, but I don't know if I would rank it in the top five only because it is one of those kind of like once you blow your load with it, you're kind of done with it. But that's sort of my opinion.
What happened to PG-13? I mean, you're talking about loads and jerking off at porn.
There's no F words.
Don't make me take off the gloves.
I haven't said the F word. I haven't said the F word.
He didn't say the F word.
So have either of you seen Alien 3?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I am terrified of all the Alien movies, but yes.
Here's okay. And you know, most people say, you know, David Fincher is kind of like, I mean, if he could, he would have it put out as an Alan Smithy movie because he really felt like the studio really tried to like control him throughout the whole process and he kind of has sort of disowned the film, although he was involved with a re-edit of it in 2003, and I watched the re-edit this week. I actually have the Alien quadrilogy on Blu-ray, and I think that like there's a couple of things about it. First of all, it does got that David Fincher kind of stamp on it in terms of the bleakness, the colors. Like, if you never noticed thing about him, guys, he has like all his movies have like a color to them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like Seven has this like, you know, kind of like dark brown and, you know,
muddy kind of,
you know what I mean? And Zodiac has a sort of like kind of greenish blue kind of thing the whole way through. They all kind of do these, you know, he does these things with like each film has a sort of color to it. And so he was kind of already doing that in Alien 3. And it is a return of the alien to the horror genre. It is not a science fiction story, really. I mean, the science fiction element of it is just like, well, it's there, but it's not really integral part of the story at all. There's no warp speed or Keith. There was no Muppets in it. I'm so you'll know. Okay.
That's why I liked it a little bit more than the last freaking Star Wars I was saying.
I know, but I think it's kind of like I really enjoy the film only because I'm a huge fan of that franchise. But I can understand why. I mean, it was one of those movies after I watched it the other night. When like, damn, if they would have really turned him loose on this, like really just let him be David Fincher, like what could he have done with it, even though in and of its own right it is not really a bad film at all.
No,
you know,
I mean that's the thing about that film. I like like you were saying, it's, I think it is one of them films where he felt, I think, restrained a little bit because the studio was trying to kind of take it over and he wasn't, you know, as hands-on as he would like.
He's actually disowned it and doesn't like it being, you know, mentioned as one of his films. But I have to say that I think it's enjoyable. And like I said, I like the fact
that... It's not a bad film at all. I don't think it is.
I remember going to see it in the theater and thinking like, okay, this is a kind of toned down, because if you remember what James Cameron did with that material, he blew it up like way big. It was a huge war thing and aliens jumping out at you everywhere and like all kind of stuff. And I think a lot of people at the time wanted to see like an alien film where Ripley and Newt and Hicks, you know, went to the alien homeworld and shot them all up or something, you know. And he didn't make that movie. He made a more like toned down, just kind of like almost like haunted house, haunted prison with this monster running around killing everybody. Just kind of just let's make a scary movie. Whether you think it was effective or not is kind of up to opinion. So let's pick another one, guys. Jump in. So one of you two guys jump in with one.
I really liked the movie Zodiac, mainly because I'm a huge serial killer fan. I like that it's about, you know, the Zodiac killer. Again, it's dark. It's kind of twisty-turny. So it's like just, you know, the formula of Fincher. But that's one of my top three.
What do you think about Zodiac, Keith?
I think it's probably one of his most underrated films. It will definitely make my list of top five. When I first saw that movie, the cast is pretty heavyweight. There's a lot of great acting in it. It's a little long, I think, for some of the, it's a little slow in parts.
I agree.
But I was surprised. You're talking about the color scheme of David Fincher movies. I was surprised that I actually seen a, like, more than two scenes in the movie had the freaking sun, because there's his movies are so dark at times that you don't even see the sun. I don't even, you know, in the other movies.
Really, what's ironic is we were watching, I watched Seven tonight, and the whole movie is raining until get in the car and they start driving out to that place where the big finish is supposed to happen, and it's bright, sunny, beautiful evening. Crazy.
I think about his flicks is there's definitely a theme to him, very dark. The Zodiac definitely based off of the serial killer who was never caught for, you know, because he's just, I guess, too smart for whoever. But how he taunts the police with the messages. Jake Gyllenhaal is really good. I'm not a huge Jake Gyllenhaal fan, I mean, but in that movie he's really good.
Yeah, for that
Mark Ruffalo is really good, and Jake Gyllenhaal is totally obsessed with this, you know, the Zodiac. And it's a movie that I think that would probably lose a lot of, like, just the people that were going to see an action film, because there's a lot of detail to it. So if you, it's one of the movies too, if you're going to go up and take a piss or go get some popcorn, you're going to have to either wear a diaper and go get some popcorn beforehand.
Pause it.
Or if you don't want to miss too many parts, is my point. Well, so I'm not ripping on people to wear diapers. I mean, babies wear diapers.
You're ripping.
And so do old people. But at the same time, just
Kevin,
if you're going to do that kind of stuff.
Guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Great to see you guys.
Just go and do that stuff beforehand, because if you miss too much of that movie, you're screwed, man. So I think Zodiac, out of all his films, Zodiac's probably the most underrated, and I think it's a really well acted and well done
play. Okay, here's what I want to say about Zodiac. First of all, I love the fact that he does the thing where it spans, you know, the decades, and he updates the clothing and the music and everything, just like in some of our other movies that do that very, very well, like Goodfellas and Forrest Gump, and, you know, he really feel like you're moving through time with this Zodiac case.
Attention to detail.
Attention to detail. Everything about it is really, really good. You really feel like you're in the 70s or the 60s. You really feel like you're in the 80s. You're so on and so forth up until the end. And I thought that was, I really loved that aspect of it. I did not find it slow or long. I found it riveting. I watched it once on Netflix several years ago, and I had just, speaking of David Fincher, and I mentioned Mindhunter, I had finished Mindhunter a few weeks ago, and I was like looking for something like that, and Zodiac is on Amazon Prime. I'm like, aha, I can get my Mindhunter fix, and I'll watch Zodiac, and just absolutely loved it. And there's just a little bit of a kind of irony there, is that Mark Ruffalo Robert Downey Jr., work together in that movie, and eventually they become the Hulk and Iron Man, and they're in the Avengers together. So it's kind of a fun kind of little tie-in there. Speaking of movies that span decades and, you know, kind of have that vibe, do you guys know of the David Fincher film called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button?
I know it. I have not seen it. Everybody tells me to watch it. I feel like it's going to be one that I'm going to get bored with, but
What did you think about it, Keith?
I actually think it was up for a couple Oscar noms there. I mean, I think that he was up for Best Director on that. I've seen it twice, and I do like the movie. I think it's one of his... It's okay, for me, the reason why I probably want to make my top five is the fact that I respect this because I think no one should do the same thing over and over again. But it's a true departure from all his films. It's almost like it's a love story. It's just shown through the eyes of a very just odd way. Okay. Which is, you know, it's not a typical, like, you know, plot to a film. But at the same time, it is a great movie. Obviously, he likes Brad Pitt's thing, he does. And it's just a movie that, another one, that just you got to pay attention to because there's a lot going on. And it's like, okay, this dude's really old when he's born. And all of a sudden, he's going backwards in life. It's just kind of, it's bizarre. It's a cool premise, but like I said, it's such a departure from all his other films that I really enjoy that I like the movie, but will it make my top? I don't know.
Well, let me say this about The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. To me, it was like Alfred Hitchcock making Forrest Gump. I really kind of the whole time, all I wanted to hear Benjamin Button was Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
Oh my God.
I really thought the whole time, Stu and I watched it, we were like, this is Forrest Gump. It is, in my opinion, is very similar to that, but it's dark. It's got that David Fincher darkness to it. So it's like, you know, and Fincher is very influenced by Alfred Hitchcock. I mean, that's why a lot of Fincher's films are in that sort of suspense, you know, thriller genre, because he you could tell that he's the son of Hitchcock. It's not even a question. But I just thought, I thought it was great filmmaking. I thought that the CGI was miraculous. Like it looks great, and it
probably saved the film in spots, you know.
Yeah, and it really kind of takes you through the decades, and you appreciate all that, and the music updates, and all that type of stuff. And it's touching in places. I mean, I got choked up several times, but I just kept on wanting him to say, "Life is like a box of chocolate." It just had that kind of vibe. So it was like, you know, Forrest Button. Let's talk about a film that...
That's actually the sequel coming out next year.
Talk about The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, that's...
Go ahead. What do you think? Hit me up.
Yeah, go for it.
This movie here is kick-ass from start to finish. This movie does not let you go. It is probably one of my favorite David Fincher films, and it is based off of it's a Swedish film. And it's a book series also.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Yeah. I'm so partial to the original Swedish version that I had. I was very prejudiced against it, although it is very good, and Fincher does a great job with it. But I love the foreign version. I prefer the foreign version. That's just my two cents.
Well, that's good, man. Why don't you go play your friggin' ABBA albums too when you're done here? You know what I mean?
Wow. Let's talk about it. Let's
talk about it. This is a Fincher podcast. Let's talk about what Fincher took it and just humped it into submission to make it his own. So let's talk about that.
Did he really make it his own?
He kicks ass, man.
Have you ever seen the original version?
I don't need to. Because okay. I know this version's better. That's why.
We should do a podcast on the foreign films that have been remade into English and like the good and bad of that. That would be a good topic.
We could do that. We could do that.
We're gonna come back. We're gonna play a band now that we discovered on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus a couple of years ago, and became really big fans of them. I think Lily's gonna like this band. They are called Thunder Mother.
I already like the name.
Isn't it cool? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've got a new album. Not all the songs are available yet, but the new record's coming out, I believe, at the end of the month. This is a track called We Fight for Rock and Roll, Thunder Mother, on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
We don't need any affirmation. All we need is a
That is Thunder Mother. Thunder Mother. Thunder Mother. Thunder Mother. Thunder Mother. Thunder Mother. Thunder Mother! You want to go to thundermother.com and check out everything that they have going on. Before that, we had Greta Von Fleet. You go to gretavonfleet.com. And just a really good rock and roll band. They've got a new album. It's going to be self-titled. It's coming out very soon. And that's a cut off of it that you can find on the services out there, the streaming services. So check them out. Great band, Thunder Mother. So let's what do we need to talk about? So we talked about Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Zodiac. What about Panic Room? You ever seen Panic Room, guys?
I saw it when it first came out.
I saw it. I went to see that in the theater as well. What did you think? Dwight Yoakam's in it.
Yeah, it's got a good cast. I mean, it's got a very, very young Kristen Stewart. It's got a Jodie Foster. You can't go wrong with her usually. Dwight Yoakam. I heard it compared to, and I actually agree with this. I heard it compared to. It's a very good B movie.
Okay.
So it's almost like it's not a great movie. It's almost like a movie you'd wait to. I'm gonna wait till the rental comes out. That way I can hook it up at the Redbox or whatever. So I mean, it's good to watch, but it's just like it's kind of.
Why do you think that is, Keith? Like, because he's done so much epic movies, like movies that are so good. You know, how do we get to? I mean, we understand Alien 3 because the studio was really trying to, like, muscle him on that. But something like, yeah. I don't understand why, you know, Panic Room comes across like, not so good. I mean, what do you think that is? I mean, it's speculation. I mean, what do you think?
I just think sometimes you're working within, like, boundaries of what, you know, maybe some, like, with the Alien 3 thing, sometimes they don't let you just, you know, they don't take the chains off. I mean, the training wheels are kind of, you know, it's not, you know, it's your film, but they're also working for, you know, a studio. So they kind of, you know, you got to work in with their bounds. Maybe it's not your total vision, so you kind of do it, but it's, you know, and hopefully you make a great film, but I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of people come short of their actual goal, which is unfortunate. But I think on that case, you can have all the David Fincher you want, but it's good for a good watch. But I wouldn't watch it repeatedly. I don't think it holds, you know, its weight with all his right. other films. I think he definitely went up from there and got, you know, definitely got
right.
better.
I think it also sort of suffered from villains that were probably not as serious or maybe kind of weak. And that kind of like takes all the tension down, you know. Yeah, so if the villains aren't really villainy, then you start to kind of not.
What do you mean? You're not intimidated by Jared Leto and cornrows?
Right. Like you don't get that. No. That invested in, like, it's probably going to be okay. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, a movie that came out like that in the past couple of years, a horror film called The Disappointments Room, which had a great premise and a great cast, but, like, nothing really serious happened in the movie. And so you kind of walked away from it going, like, this was just, it was very milquetoast, you know, and I think there's a little element of that with that. But let's talk about, we need to talk about The Social Network. Let's hit that. So what did you guys think of that movie?
The Social Network. It was, I watched it after, you know, it was already on DVD. I thought it was going to actually be pretty interesting. I ended up having to rewatch it several times. I found it extremely boring. I really liked the idea of it, though, because it was about, you know, Facebook and this whole thing and how the story of it was. But I just found it blah.
It's blah. Just,
that's all I have.
That was my feeling about it, too. So, I mean, and according to IndieWire.com, they ranked that as Fincher's number one film. They called
wow.
it, they
yeah,
said
man,
it's like
yeah,
the internet version of Citizen Kane. And I'm like, no.
Not close. Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close.
What do you think, Keith? Talk about it.
You know, like the movie poster says, you can't make 500 million friends and not make a few enemies. I don't know. The music, the movie is, you know, definitely not for everybody. I think it's good. We're on Facebook, so I'm not going to bash it too much. So it's one of the things where...
Wait a minute, our feed just went down.
Yeah, oh,
it's,
no.
It's one of the things where it's a good movie, but again, it's a departure. I think it's one of his better, like, more successful films. I know it was up for Best Picture when it came out. I think he was up for Best Director in that. I don't think either of them won. They won a couple of Golden Globes, maybe, for that. Yeah, it wouldn't have surprised me if they did. It's like, I like directors sometimes when they go out of their realm, their
right.
thing. But it still looks at a dark kind of, because that wasn't like, that movie wasn't all, you know, sunshine and rainbows, man. It was a lot of darkness to that movie too. And it was obviously based off a true story that, you know, some guys did some things and created a monster. And
yeah.
It's still rocking on. And it's an interesting movie. It is, I'll agree with Lily, it is a little slow, we'll say. In spots, boring if you want. But I think it's one of his, like, it's a strong film, but like I said, I prefer a certain side of David Fincher, just in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm not completely on board with it. I think, like I said,
okay.
as successful films, I think it's one of his more successful films, but I don't really, you know, I think it's good, but it's not.
Okay,
me,
I want to touch on one more before we cut. What before I think that David Fincher has a great film that is the greatest, one of the greatest films of all time. We're going to get to that in a second, but we should talk about Gone Girl Gone. I had never seen it, and I watched it over the weekend, and I was absolutely freaking floored by it. But what it did was, yeah, I was a little bored with it in the beginning. I was like, okay, and I'm not a Ben Affleck fan at all. I was like, I wanted to choke him for what he did to Batman. But I think that, you know, it really was.
What about Val Kilmer?
You know, it was just kind of slow and then there's this twist, and I felt like, okay, so they're doing this twist. And then what they did with the twist was what really tickled me, like how it went off in all these different directions and how nothing really went according to plan on both sides, and how you were caught between, like, you know, who are you rooting for, it who was really real, and how you found out. And he sort of plays a little trick on you, because you sort of assume, because men are jerks, that she's being abused. And
oh, that's where everybody's mind goes.
It's terrible. You know what I mean?
Like,
you know, this guy's a jerk. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just because he cheated on his, you know, there's a whole thing. Well, just because you cheated on your wife doesn't mean you killed your wife. That's one of the arguments they had about O.J. Simpson. And, but so your mind automatically goes there. And then as it starts to unfold, you kind of realize, like, a little joke's been played on you. And it's really fun. I loved the race against time between who was going to come out and confess the affair first. Was it going to be the guy or the girl? You know, when her plans go awry and she gets robbed. I mean, there's so many, like, fun twists and turns.
There was twist upon twist
right.
in this one.
Yeah, like, beyond, like, the big reveal, there's these twists, because they did the big reveal, like, about halfway through the movie,
yeah.
You know. And I love the unreliable narrator thing, where, you know, you're kind of going along with the story, and then you find out you've been fooled. I love that. Guys, somebody else talk.
You just kept going and going.
I just saw that movie, and it just really grabbed me.
You were on a roll, man. You were on a roll. I'm going to call you Butter tonight, because you're on a roll. All right, so, I think the only thing that really surprised me about that movie, not only was there a lot of twists, but it was the fact that Doogie Howser was trying to get a chick in that movie. Was a little bit odd to me, because he don't seem like the type of dude that'll do that, if you know what I mean. But not there's anything wrong with that. But I thought this film was probably his most underrated film. I do think it's an awesome film, and I think you'll hear about it again later on, but I think it's a film it's just good, man. I mean, it's, like I said, in the beginning, like, you know, you're saying it's a little slow. I think it more than makes up for it as the movie goes on.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to call it a slow burn, whatever you want to call it.
But a lot of his movies do have slow parts in them, I think.
Yeah, but
Well, I think part of it was I was prejudiced against it because I'm like, Ben Affleck.
It's going to be
this,
typical.
I was thinking like, okay, so this guy kills his wife and what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. And then I find out, wait a minute, that's not really what's going on here. And then it kind of started, and then I was went from being like ant to like falling in love with it by the end. And I think I just enjoyed that experience. You have World War Z written down. Why do you have World War Z written down?
It was on the list.
He's going to do World War Z too.
Okay, maybe that's what it was.
That is really crazy.
That's
like,
why it's kind of like towards
I'm
the
not,
end.
So I don't know. Did you like World War Z?
No, it sucks.
I didn't like it either. But, you know, maybe because he wants to work with Brad Pitt and Brad's like, you got to do, I don't know. And he's going to do 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
I saw that. I'm pretty excited about that.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there as well. Hey, Billy Mack, what's up?
Brad Pitt
could
be that one too.
But I think that we need to, I think no matter what order we put these in, I think there's one movie that is his greatest movie. In fact, I think this is one of the greatest films of all time. When you talk about Citizen Kane, The Godfather, Lawrence of Arabia, you know, the great, Apocalypse Now, Taxi Driver, the great films, Gone with the Wind, the great films of our life. I think we
Alien 3.
You have to say Fight Club. I mean, Fight Club is one of the most. It is so.
Wait,
brilliant.
Are we allowed to talk about it?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
It was one of the most brilliant films on so many levels, and it's also a love story. And you know, this is right. One of the things I just want to say real quick is like one of the readings of Fight Club could be that it's just a love story about Tyler and Marla. And if you think about it, if you view the movie in that way, it's like a crazy love story. But anyway, so guys, go ahead. I know that you guys want to talk about Fight Club. Go ahead.
Do you want to go for it, Keith?
Yeah, I mean, the first rule of Fight Club is not to talk about it, but we'll do it anyway.
That's enough about Fight Club.
there's some very quotable lines in this movie. This movie has cool little few cameos, will you will, if you know, like Meatloaf's in it. You know, you got just. And I was surprised that Helena Bonham Carter was allowed to be in a movie. Besides, one was directed by Tim Burton, so that's a good thing. So, but it's a great movie. For me, it's not his best, but I mean, it is.
We can no longer be friends.
Wow.
That's okay because it would come in at number two, but. It's a great movie, again, with the Brad Pitt theme, with, you know, he just seems to have a thing for him. He's great in a movie. Edward Norton is one of my favorite actors of all time, to be honest with you, and he's amazing in that movie.
What's your sort of thoughts on Fight Club, Lily?
I absolutely love this movie. I did not want to watch it. I was forced to watch it way after the movie came out. I fought it to the death. Give me a minute, Keith, before you talk. My ex-husband made me watch it. And I was the only one awake at the end of the night watching it on the edge of my seat going, what just happened? Loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. It had a couple different stories going on in it, so I had to like definitely pay attention to it and not be the person that fell asleep. But I every time this is on, I will watch it. Every single time. As many times as I've seen it, I will watch it every time.
Yeah, I've probably seen it 20 times.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. So we're going to get a rank. So what are we going to do? And what do you think the number one, Fincher's number one movie is, Keith? If you don't think it's Fight Club, what could it be? Seven?
I think Seven is his best movie.
Okay, I disagree. I would definitely put that as number two.
Okay, Lou, but you know why? Because it's your podcast. You can disagree, but it sucks for you to be wrong. But let's just talk about how the other movies rank. For me, Seven is number one.
Okay.
It's not number seven. We only had five, so I have to do the math there. So Seven is number one if we're going to go like that. But Fight Club is number two, buddy. So don't, you know, let's leave it at that. We want to get two.
I can't leave it at that. Fight Club is number one. Seven's number two, for sure. And the rest of them can be whatever you want them to be. Because Fight Club is it's just a very important film. Seven is a great thrill. Seven is a great thriller. It is probably, if you wanted to say the great thrillers of all time, like Silence of the Lambs and these different movies, Seven is absolutely an amazing thriller. But it does not have the depth and the multi-layered meanings and the. And all the different metaphors about human life and relationships and the hero's journey and all the stuff, it just does not have the same in the same way as Fight Club does. Fight Club is a movie about society.
I don't want to tap your ass tonight.
It's a movie about society. It's a movie about men and what are men supposed to do in a post-feminist society. It's a great It's an amazing movie. It is his. Not only is it his greatest film, it is one of the greatest films of all time.
It is a kick-ass film, and all I'm saying to you is, when I look or want to go into a movie theater or watch a movie on demand or whatever, the last thing I'm thinking about is, this movie going to have a message for humanity? I'm looking for somebody to get effed up.
It's
That's
so.
All.
It is so. It is. I mean, but why that works in Fight Club is because it isn't. It doesn't beat you over the head with it. It's just like a. In other words, it can be just a fun story. It can be just a crazy sort of mind F. But there are these way very powerful, deep themes that kind of seep through it. It's a very powerful film on a lot of levels. It's very deep. Very poignant, very important, and has an important sort of idea that I think that people should pay attention to. And I think that they get that message subliminally. It's not like one of these message films that, like, clubs you over the head with some... Let's talk about a movie like... what's the movie with Jodie Foster where, you know, she gets... she gets raped, and I mean, it's a sad story, you know what I mean? But they sort of... They sort of beat you over the head. It's a kind of, like, you know, big, you know, message film about women's rights and, you know, sexuality and all kind of stuff like that. Whereas Fight Club does this, gives you the message in a super fun, crazy, insane way. And it's not just it's not really a message. It's just like different, and there's different messages, there's different ideas. There's a lot of different subtexts to it that I just think that, as great as Seven is, and I just watched Seven and I think it's a brilliant film, I just don't think Seven quite rises to that greatness.
I think it's a very close second, though.
Yeah. Keith's leaving.
I'm going to say it's number one. But, you know, hey, we're all entitled to our opinion.
So Keith and Lou are... Seven is number two, and Fight Club's number one. Lily and Lou are that, and Keith is like, Fight Club is number two, and Seven's number one. So, what then is number three, four, and five?
All right, I got them.
Three for me is Gone Girl.
I might agree with that. What do you think, Keither?
Three for me is Dragon, man. Dragon Tattoo is awesome. I think it's this amazing film. It's so well acted, and I don't care about the original. I can give a shit about that. We're talking about the one David Fincher directed. I think that everybody in the movie, James friggin' Bond's awesome in that movie, you know, Christopher Plummer, they got everybody in that movie is great. It's a movie that kind of just has little twists and turns. It's another one, dark, you're kind of rooting for this person, what's going to happen with that. Rooney Mara in that movie is amazing. I mean, it's a movie,
it's a great film. Okay.
It's sadistic as hell in parts. I mean, come on, seriously. There's some.
So we're going backwards because we're supposed to go from five to one. Well, what are we supposed? So
yeah, that was
three.
So
what do you say about four? Lily.
Zodiac is my number four.
What about you, Keith?
Zodiac's my number four.
Okay. Wow, we agreed on something.
Woo!
I can't believe it.
High five.
It sucks. It's making me sick. No, I'm just kidding.
And what do you have for number? What do you have for number five, Keith?
It was really tough to decide between Gone Girl and Social Network, but I went with Gone Girl. It's just a little darker film for me, that's all.
I would never put Social Network in the top five at all.
It was number one on a lot of people's lists.
I could have, like, been balancing my checkbook. It just did not interest me.
And,
you know,
I'm not a big Jesse Eisenberg fan. I don't know what he does that's supposed to, like, get him roles. I mean, I don't understand the
whole
hipster thing. With him, I mean, he's been in a lot of movies, and I don't get it. So I don't. There's some people I just can't relate to.
We're gonna come back. We're gonna finish up this fun conversation. We're gonna rock out one more time tonight. So far, you've heard Greta Von Fleet with Safari Song from the album From the Fires. We had a brand new cut by Thunder Mother, not Wolf Mother, Thunder Mother. We Fight for Rock and Roll, and we do here at Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And we're going to play Reign of Z here in a second. Guys, if you'd like a little more background on hard rock and you want to, you know, get to hear about some really cool bands that you're not hearing about and chat with me and hang out with me a little bit more on this stuff, please go to LouLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle. And I do a whole sort of behind-the-scenes thing where you can get a lot more information on how hard rock is made. And we talk about some very cool stuff in my private group. and definitely want to check it out. But let's rock out with a little Reign of Z, Pittsburgh's own Reign of Z.
Ooh, yeah.
Whispers in the Walls, Reign of Z on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Is Reign of Z on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Go to facebook.com/Reign of Z. And guys, listen, it's Rain, R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. Okay?
Wow.
Rain of... Did you like that?
I love that. I'm so glad it's recorded forever so I can see it.
Okay, Billy, I can't... I'm looking at your comments on a little phone. Lily's going to tell me what your comment was so I can respond to you properly.
When I can walk, I so want to be on the show and give Evanescence some cred. I love Amy Lee.
All right. Billy Mank chiming in. We got so many people. Rob Johnson. We have all kind of people. Michael Morgan was here. Love, just been a great cast of characters tonight for coming in. We had a lot of fun sparring, right, Keith, over the whole David Fincher.
Strangely, thing. I've agreed a lot with Keith tonight, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I was being nice today, so I'll let you all just on board the Keith train for a minute.
Oh, it's
there,
on,
so
it's on good, for next know. Week, buddy. It's on.
Join us next week when the topic will be...
Next week?
Join us next week when the topic will be... Exactly. We don't know.
I so still will disagree.
I don't know what the hell you're doing.
We're gonna be screwing around here for a couple more minutes doing some stuff. So if you have an idea for a topic, chime in. Let us know. If it doesn't suck, we'll do it. But if you pick a topic that sucks, we're not doing it.
Your choice.
You know. So we're always open for suggestions. You know, I've been drinking mostly cleaning products today, so I am open for suggestions.
That's weird.
How's that taste, man?
Ah, it's good stuff. Anyways, you guys, if you listen to Lou Dini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, you can go to LouDiniRockAndRollCircus.com. LouDiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Guys, there's so much cool stuff going on. Tons of really great indie bands signed to small labels that are making great music. And I get to tell their stories. I get to talk with them. It's a lot of fun. And then we get to do this thing here, which is a bunch of drunken debauchery and arguing. You know, but if it's good enough for Howard Stern, right? So that's what we do here. So go to LouDiniRockAndRollCircus.com and check all that stuff out. Guys, it's very important that you share. So please be hitting the share. Sharing is caring.
Share all the things.
Share everything.
Sharing is caring, and I'm not even drunk yet, man.
You have to let it get out there because, see, it's not about the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. It's not so much about Lily or Keith or Lou. It's about the amazing music and getting the word out about these great bands. We pick a fun topic and we talk about it to kind of keep people interested. And then we want you to check out some cool music, hear about some bands. If you're a hard rock and metal fan like we are, you're definitely at the right place. Go around the room, guys. Anything you guys want to plug, talk about before we wrap up for the evening?
I'll go first since Keith's not talking. I just want to remind everybody my show Hot Licks with Lily Six on Rock Rage Radio is at 6 o'clock on Thursdays now, not 10 o'clock anymore. So make sure you're checking at the right time. And we got this guy too.
I should plug this.
Yes.
March 2nd, 2018, Turbo Goddess's Beach Band Boogie.
I love the name.
Featuring the Turbo Sonics, Johnny and the Razor Blades with the opening act, Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Lou Dini.
Woo!
And it's going to be, it starts at 9 p.m. at the Good Time Bar, 1304 Walters Avenue, Pittsburgh. It's Millvale.
Great bar.
It's a very cool place. Guys, it is super cheap to drink there. So if you're a Lush, because none of you are alcoholics or you'd be going to meetings. If you're a Lush or a drunk like I am, and Lily is, and Keith is, it's a great place because drinks are like, it's like VFW prices.
It's
like,
cheapy
it's
cheap.
It's cheap. Yes, they give you whiskey in a paper cup, but it's totally fine. It doesn't matter. But
I've drank whiskey out of my hand before.
The Turbo Sonics are a great surf band. I mean, they're really, really good. A lot of fun. And Johnny and the Razor Blades, I have not seen live, but I have listened to their album a few times. It's great. You know how they remind me a little bit of, Keith, maybe you remember these guys, and Lily, maybe you might be too young. Do you remember a band called Jason and the Scorchers?
You're right.
I do not.
I am too young.
Okay. Great. Check them out. I bet if you asked Johnny the Razor Blades, they would probably know who Jason and the Scorchers is. Great. Jason and the Scorchers was a band that kind of like was at the forefront of country punk in the mid-80s. And very, very cool band. But Johnny and the Razor Blades have that Jason and the Scorchers kind of vibe. Great songwriting. Great playing. Really good, like in-your-face rock and roll garage rock slash with a little bit of that country punk sort of vibe going on. But that is March 2nd, Friday night, 9 p.m., Good Time Bar and Grill.
I'll be there.
That's right. And
how much do you think it would cost for me to get an Uber to go there?
Good luck.
I would like to plug stuff, but I'm 1,500 miles away, so anything that I do is going to be a little bit tough for people to get to.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, we are international.
Okay.
We are international, so plug. Plug.
Plug all the things.
I don't have anything to plug.
I love you, Keith.
Oh, Keithy.
If I got something, though, I will share it with everyone here first, because that's what we do.
Anyways, guys, go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com for all your Ludini needs. Check out LudLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle, and we'll hang out. All right, guys, that's pretty much it, man. You guys got anything else, anything you want to add?
I got nothing else.
Got nothing?
Did
anybody else submit a top five list on there besides us three?
Nobody chimed in. We got no comments on this.
Nobody.
Are you serious?
None. And so no, we love movies, but I'm not so sure that it's a good topic. Because we got none.
I was thinking that
maybe we were a little too specific.
It's not going to fly. It's going to die.
Well,
so,
maybe we should. Next time, let's try something that doesn't. Let's maybe try like something about remakes or something when we do movies again, instead of something specific about a director.
I actually really liked this topic.
I did too, but it might be a little. It might be a little movie nerdish for some people.
It could be.
That, you know, we got to think about our niche. Our niche are people that like music and want to rock out. They may just not be as much of movie nerds as we are.
This is true. It's tough to be a nerd.
Less specificity.
In this day and age, I got to do with it, man. I got to do it. I got to fly the freaking freak flag, and I will keep going on with it. But, you know, if it doesn't work for the masses out there, we'll have to think of something else. What can I say?
All right, guys. Keith Hawkins, Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. We're going to take you out with some hot fudge, the Las Vegas on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Guys, let's rock this thing hard, man.